Companies can merge, they can split. Either way, it's good to be the men and women in the middle. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's a warm, happy glow radiating from Wall Street these days that may have to do with the money coming in during this golden era of mergers and acquisitions. We've been covering Halliburton's purchase of an oil field services rival. Separately, Actavis is buying Allergan of Botox fame. And this is just over the last day. This year, firms have spent $1.5 trillion buying U.S. companies, the most of the millennium so far, according to Thomson Reuters. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein is here. Dan, it sounds like the investment banks brokering these deals are quite happy these days.
Listen to this, David. The five banks who brokered the Halliburton and Actavis deals you were just talking about could earn as much as $316 million in fees. According to Freeman & Company, Goldman Sachs and Bank of America are the big winners in those two deals. Goldman is ranked as the number one M&A advisor, with Morgan Stanley in second. The point here, David, is that acquisitions targeting American companies are up 65%, with healthcare driving a lot of that action, and the banks are getting a nice taste of all the consolidation. It must be said, though, while Wall Street is on pace to see a level of mergers and acquisitions comparable to the dot-com days, hiring and wage growth are pretty modest.
Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein, thank you. One planned merger may be falling apart. Hasbro Toys may not buy the movie studio DreamWorks Animation after all. DreamWorks stock fell 14% yesterday. Hasbro's went up. Shifting away from the corporate conference rooms here, a new report finds that 2.5 million children experience homelessness each year, 1 in 30 kids by one calculation. This is the highest ever for this statistic, and as Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, some economics are driving this.
The study, published by the National Center on Family Homelessness, finds that as many as 1 out of every 30 children are homeless at some point during the year, an increase of 8%. Carmela DeCandia is director of the center. She says previous studies often didn't count families living outside the shelter system.
The largest group are families that are doubled up and living place to place. They're moving with families and friends, and they're kind of moving around a lot.
High living costs are a particular problem in California, which counted more than 1/5 of the homeless children in the country. Coco Auerswald is a professor at the UC Berkeley School of Public Health. On average, she says, a family needs to earn almost $28 per hour to afford a 2-bedroom apartment in California.
Which means that even if you had two parents working at minimum wage, they would still not be able to afford that kind of an apartment.
Auerswald says homeless children need to become a priority, much like chronically homeless adults and homeless veterans. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up about 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. There's news just now that profits at Home Depot are up 14% last quarter. The company attributes this to its business acumen and an improving job market. Home Depot is still calculating the costs of the massive theft of customer data from its computers. Drinking from the fountain of youth can sometimes be hazardous. For at least 3 Chinese emperors in the Tang Dynasty, that meant dying from the very potion they thought could make them immortal. The potion contained lead and mercury. More recently, people are trying everything from red wine pills to cream made out of snake slime to try to stay young. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks at some of the research behind these businesses of anti-aging.
Alexander Turney has a long list of accomplishments. He survived Nazi Germany, for starters, emigrating to the U.S. in 1935. He speaks at least 4 languages and dances the tango.
Okay, a little quirk, all right?
But a team of researchers from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine is interested in Turney for his age.
I'm a remnant of the Paleozoic age, I guess.
He's 96, and sure, things aren't as easy as they once were. But his mind and his sense of humor are still very sharp. He tries to joke with the nurse taking a blood sample.
They have the seeing eye dogs. I want a seeing eye girlfriend.
He didn't get a laugh.
Trying to be funny, Gabby.
I know.
Because they say laughter is the best medicine.
The researchers are trying to figure out which genes may help people like Turney live so long and stay so healthy.
Everybody knows somebody who's 60 that looks like he's 50 or somebody that's 60 that looks like he's 70.
Nir Barzilai is the director of the Institute for Aging Research at Albert Einstein and the leader of this study.
The question is, what is really the biological or genetic difference between those who age quickly and those who age slowly?
And can we figure out a way to mimic the benefits of those genes in people who don't have them? Dr. Barzilai's goal isn't to extend our lifespan, though that may happen. He's more interested in delaying the onset of a whole slew of diseases that often come with age, like cancers, dementia, cardiovascular disease, and strokes. Instead of treating them one at a time, he thinks we should try and delay them all. And believe it or not, he's noticed that the longer people live, the less they tend to spend on medical care at the end of life.
When you look at the medical cost in the last 2 years of life of people who die over the age of 100 versus people who die at age 70, they're third.
Jay Olshansky, a public health professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago, calls this the longevity dividend. He thinks it could save the U.S. trillions over the next few decades.
Whenever you extend healthy life, you're enabling people to remain in the labor force longer. They're drawing from Medicare for a shorter time period. So extending healthy life is good for everyone.
Of course, people would have to work longer to support this longer life, and many people already struggle to save enough for their retirement. But Olshansky says we can't underestimate how big a breakthrough it would be to slow aging. He thinks it would be the most important medical intervention in history. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Tracy's longevity dividend piece was part of a partnership that we have with the New York Times titled A Guide to Buying Just About Anything. We'll have more stories this week and watch for a special section in the newspaper tomorrow. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.